The end is near. Jesus is coming. You better get ready. He's coming in fiery wrath. Are you ready? Repent. Repent. I'm telling you. You must repent. I like props. Hopefully it'll make you remember something, right? Amen?
Amen. I've seen that outside the window.
The end is near. What do you think of all that? What did you think of that little display? What would you think of a person you saw on the street today doing that? Even we as Christians sometimes may chuckle or may even think, that guy's a nut. Or we may be self-righteous and say, well, that's not the way I would do it. That's not the way to go about it. The Bible says that in the end times that men will mock, saying, where is the promise of His coming? In other words, you foolish Christian. He's not coming. You've been saying it for almost 2,000 years. Where is He? Where's the promise of His coming? And time rolls on. And life rolls on. Even today, we as Christians, we hear, Jesus is coming soon. But we kind of dismiss it. Is it real to you this morning? Is it real to you that Jesus Christ could return today? Every prophecy has been fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled. That sky, hallelujah, could split open today. And we which are alive, the dead in Christ will raise first. And we which who are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with Jesus in the air. Hallelujah. But is that real to you? You know the Scripture. But is it real to you? We agree with it. We believe it. But do we live like it? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray blessing on Your Word today. Lord, I thank You for the message You gave me for Your people, for Your beloved. And Father, I ask for an anointing, Lord, right now from You. A Holy Ghost anointing, Lord, that I may preach this Word in such a way, Lord, that You would receive glory. And our hearts and our minds would be changed. And we would face toward You, our Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Precious name. When I first got saved, I heard Brother Lay preach a message that Jesus is coming. He preached about on the white horses, and I believe you said, Jesus rides again. That was almost 20 years ago. And I was excited by that. I came to the Lord. He pulled me out of the world, and I got saved. And I was no longer on my way to hell. I knew I was on my way to hell. And I was now redeemed. And I knew it was on. And I was waiting. Oh, this could be the day. Amen. 20 years ago. This could be the day. You know, I still feel that way. Do you? Is it real to you this morning? Is it real to you this morning? Amen. I hope you remember me marching down that aisle with that sandwich board on saying, the end is near. And did you like the back? No, really. It is. And we may see someone like that. We may think they're a lunatic. But the message is clear that the end is near. We've had messages lately of the Lord telling us through tongues and interpretation that I am coming soon. And don't worry about what the leaders of men are doing, for I am coming soon. And take heart. Do you believe it? And are you living like it? We need to be ready. So I got saved and I was excited. And I was working in construction at the time. And I had a white hard hat that I had to wear. And I took a marker. You know how them young Christians are. You know, when the old timers say, they'll calm down. I haven't calmed down yet. I'm not going to calm down. I took a marker and I wrote down Matthew 24:44. So everyone on the construction site could see it. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man, Jesus, hallelujah, is coming at an hour when you do not expect it. King James says, it's such an hour that you think not. Did you wake up this morning thinking Jesus could come today? I want to get you excited, saints of God. I want to make sure you're prepared and that you're ready. And that we do not get in that lull. Amen? That we don't get in that complacency where we forget. Where we don't get it, and I'm guilty of this, getting wrapped up in what's going on politically. These things have to take place. And that just means Jesus is coming. Amen? There's a righteous ruler coming, and of His government, there will be no end. Somebody shout. Hallelujah. Main text this morning. My title is called Knowing the Time. My main text this morning is Romans chapter 13. It's very interesting. I took the dog out this morning. My hair's sticking up because I hadn't showered yet. And I'm, come on, dog. Do your business. And the man walks up the street. I'm like, oh my, oh well. And it was my neighbor. And he comes up to me and he says, I understand you're a preacher. And I thought, all right, here we go. Here's an opportunity. He's got a need. But it turned out, he said, well, hallelujah, brother. He goes, I want you to remember one thing. He leans over to me and goes, you preach to them that the end is near. I said, isn't that something, brother? I said, my sermon, I'm using a prop where I made a sandwich board that says the end is near. And I said, my text is out of Romans 13. He said, I just read that last night. Isn't that cool? I love when the Lord does that. So Romans chapter 13. Listen now. And do this. That's a command. And do this, knowing the time. That it is now high time to awake out of sleep. The church falls asleep. We get caught up in the everyday. We forget. How many witnessed to somebody this week? How many told somebody about Jesus? How many told somebody, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? And don't raise your hand, but how many did not? And how many saw people and were in contact with people who are on their way to hell? An eternity without Christ. But we're asleep in the light, as Keith Green said it. Asleep in the light. I love that song. He says, don't you care? Don't you care? The world is sinking down. Don't you care? Wake up, the text tells us. This is a critical hour. Wake up, in the Greek, in that text says, to rouse to reality. Amen? I woke my girls up this morning, but I didn't rouse them. I woke them up gently. Hey, time to get up. Emily says, yeah, right. But to rouse, I mean, wake up! Wake up! Can I rouse you to reality this morning? Wake up! Hallelujah! Face the truth and realize that the time is near. Continuing, it says, for now our salvation, our final deliverance, is nearer, hallelujah, than when we first believed. When I got saved 20 years ago, I was ready. I was looking. Were you? But now, I'm not disappointed. It's nearer.
Amen.
I said, it's nearer than when you first believed.
Hallelujah.
He's coming, saints.
Yes,
He's coming. Be ready and wake up every second of every day. We are getting closer to the day, hallelujah, when that trumpet's going to sound. When the Father's going to say to Jesus, go get them. Go get my children.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to be going about our daily business. And we're going to hear that trumpet shout.
Hallelujah.
Sound.
Glory.
And we'll be caught up before we even know it. In a twinkling of an eye. We won't even have time to say, is this it? Boom! We're with Jesus. Forever! No more dying there, brother. No more crying there. Soon, and very soon, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Shout, somebody. Hallelujah! It's reality. Wake up! It's truth. Wake up! Glory to God. We look around at the world we live in. And we can see prophecy unfolding before our very eyes. You know, the saints of old said they wish they could see this time. We're blessed to see this. We're blessed that I believe this generation will see the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And how fascinating it is to watch everything that's going on in the world. Wow. Look up. Look up, the Bible says, for your redemption draweth nigh. Glory to God. What it must have been like. And some of you were there. in 1948 to see Israel once again become a nation. Prophecy fulfilled. And in 1967 to see them retake Jerusalem. What must it have been like? Were you outside going, "All right, here we go. I'm ready"? It must have been an exciting time. But don't be discouraged as we see it. I remember saying, I doubt if we see the year 2000. Not because I was counting days. Not because I thought I knew the date. But it just seemed like, how long can this go on? Why does it keep going on? Because Jesus loves people. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. But you know, there's going to be a last sinner. There's going to be a last sinner bow the knee to Jesus Christ and repent of his sins. And He's coming, saints. Wake up. Be ready. Hallelujah. But that was just a few nations. In the Six-Day War in 1967, Israel was surrounded by Egypt and Syria and I think Jordan. And they were surrounded. But that was only a few nations, saints. The Bible says that every nation is going to come against Israel.
Amen.
Can you see that unfolding?
Amen.
Can you see the attitude toward Israel today, even in our own country?
Yes.
I'll never forget the first day we bombed Hussein. I was getting ready to go to work, and there was some news show on, and some woman called in. "This is all Israel's fault." Do you see that attitude? I can see the United States. I'm no prophet. I can see the United States saying, "Well, you know, we wouldn't have these terrorist attacks if we weren't friends of Israel." I can see us pulling our support. We're about the only friend they have. And the Bible says every nation will come against her. But then Jesus is coming. And He's gonna take care of business. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That was just a few nations. We could see every nation. Zechariah 14, verse 2a. Says, "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem." Can you see it coming? Look up, saints. Look up, saints. Your redemption draws nigh. Verse 3. "Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against the nations." Hallelujah. "And in that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall split in two." Glory to God. Then on to verse 5 says, "Thus the Lord will come, and all the saints with Him." When that happens, that's 7 years after we're out of here.
Amen.
And we're coming back with Him on white horses.
Amen.
As though we're going to battle. But we're not going to have to fight. Because He's going to strike them down with the word of His mouth. Hallelujah. Is that reality to you? We could be going to boot camp any time now. It could happen today. I said it can happen today.
Amen.
I want you to really let that sink in. I want you to live it until He comes. Amen?
Yes.
That it could be today. It's so easy for us to fall asleep. It's so easy for us to forget it. And you know, we get in the daily. You got to do it. You got to live life. You got to work. You got to take care of your family. But look up and be about the Lord's business. Amen? Al-Qaeda's second end times. Al-Qaeda's second in command urged Muslims to, quote, "head into the battlefield and fight the enemies of Islam, including Israel, but also the entire Zionist Crusader Alliance, and it is the evil master America." This is what our enemies think of us. All right, I want you to relate this. End times. What does the Bible say it's going to be like? "Men will hate you for Jesus' name." The same man released a similar message in January of 2009 urging Muslims to strike the interests of the enemies of Islam, namely the Christians and Jews, wherever and by whatever means you can. Awake yet? All over the world we read and hear of Muslim persecution of Christians and others. Others persecuting. Murders, beheadings, prison, churches burned. I just heard this morning on the radio. Clock radio went off on WCRH. Christian pastor in Russia, shot and killed coming out of his church. And I remember there was another one too, in another nation. I don't remember what it was. Shot and killed. Why? Because he was preaching the Word of God. Are you ready? Have you girded yourself up and prepared yourself for what's coming? I don't know how bad it'll get before Jesus comes. But we need to be about His business. Amen? And we need to make sure we know who we are. Iran's president says that Israel, do you see everyone coming against Israel? They hate Israel. They hate the Jews and they hate Christians. Iran's president said that Israel should be wiped off the map. If I could pronounce his name, I would. Missiles displayed in a parade have "death to Israel" and "death to the United States" written on them. They hate God and they hate God's servants. When the letter to the Romans was written, I said all that to say this. There was impending persecution coming on the horizon, but this time it was back then it was from Rome. And you all know the story of what Rome did to Christians. Murdered them, took their children, murdered their children, burned them alive for their own entertainment because they hated Christ. Persecution was on the horizon for them. No wonder he told them, the church in Rome, to awake out of their sleep. Are you awake? I said, are you awake?
Yes.
We need the same message today, I believe. Oh, but this couldn't happen in the home of the brave, in the land of the free. Could it? After all, we have our rights. Couldn't happen. It is happening. I'm not talking about Iran now. I'm not talking about people's hands getting cut off in Saudi Arabia. Now I'm talking about our land. Men are working hard to destroy family and to destroy marriage. Tax dollars are being used to fund abortion. Secularism is becoming visible in nearly every institution. The media mocks Christ and never shows the good that God's people are doing. Do you ever notice what it looks like when they show a Christian on TV? It's always some fallen person who's in sin or some fanatic walking them down the street with a sign that says repent and a sandwich board. You ever notice it? What they're doing is the same thing that Rome did. They tried to minimize Christianity. They're already saying we're ignorant, we're intolerant, it should be illegal. Idiotic cartoons on television that are supposedly for adults on Comedy Central and others and Fox mock Christ openly, blasphemously. But yet, they fear the followers of Muhammad. The same show that mocks Christ made a show mocking Muhammad. They got death threats, so of course they didn't do it. They didn't air it. We live in fear. Christians are mocked and portrayed as narrow-minded and hateful, cold, intolerant, and oppressive. The federal government regulates churches through tax laws. You got to watch what you say, or you lose your tax-exempt status. Ungodly organizations plant people in congregations. This happened in Kansas. That the... I'm trying to think of what it's called. But basically they believe in nothing and they don't want anyone else to have... Freedom from Religion Foundation. The Freedom from Religion Foundation has planted people in various congregations to monitor what the pastors are preaching. So that if they say anything wrong, they cross the line, they report them to the IRS. It's happening, saints. It's happening in our world today, in America. Public displays of faith in Christ are illegal in schools. Ten Commandments have been taken out of our schools and off of many of our government buildings and parks, and prayer declared unconstitutional. Prayer declared unconstitutional. Christian carols have been banned. Kids are banned from wearing jewelry. Some kids just recently were arrested. I don't believe in the Roman Catholic Church. I don't believe they know the way of salvation. But the point is, two kids were wearing their rosary and they were thrown out of school or punished in some way because the principal said it's gang related. How long is it going to be until Christians are considered gangs? How long is it going to be until we're illegal? Illegal gangs having illegal meetings. Well, I got news for them. Look at China. The church thrives in China. You want the church to thrive? Let them tell us we can't do it. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Go ahead. Tell me I can't worship my Lord. Not going to stop me. How about you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
A confessed child rapist, James Arnett. Okay, let me remind you once again. This is America I'm talking about. A confessed child rapist, James Arnett, had his sentence reduced because the judge in his case quoted Matthew 18, 5 and 6 during sentencing. Confessed child rapist. Because the judge quoted God's holy word. In March of 1998, the ACLU put pressure on a small town of Republic, Missouri to remove a fish symbol from its logo. Before and after. See it? You know what they said? Because it's a secret sign of Christianity. Are you awake yet? Pastors and other Christians have been arrested for praying on the steps of the Supreme Court and at the rotunda of the Capitol. Arrested for praying! Peacefully. Not protesting, not arguing, not hindering traffic, which is the excuses they oftentimes use. I myself was thrown out of the State Fair of Texas for handing out tracts. We set up a booth and was witnessing in Thurmont, Maryland during Collar Fest a few years ago. And many of us went out from there handing out tracts. And some people walked into a public park and were told they were not allowed to hand out gospel tracts. Thurmont! Are you awake yet? 30-year-old plaques inscribed with Bible verses have been removed from the Grand Canyon National Park. Four Christians this year were arrested. I've seen the video about this. Okay, listen. Wake up. Four Christians. I seen all the footage, everything. Four Christians went into American International Festival that's been held in Dearborn, Michigan for like 20 years. And they were simply walking around. And they went to a booth that had a sign that said, "Got questions? We've got answers." So they took one of the pamphlets and they walked up and said, "We've got questions." And I don't know what stirred them up, but they figured out they were Christians, so they started to assault them, knocking the cameras out of their hands. And then the police showed up. Did the police stop these men from assaulting them? No. They joined them and drove them out of this place. Look it up on YouTube. Assaulting them the whole way. Confiscating their property. And they didn't get their cameras back for 30 days. Illegally. In America. Chief of Police of Dearborn, Michigan, Ron Haddad, took away the rights of these men because of his sympathies. Ron has now been appointed to the Office of Homeland Security, and his job is to train the police in how to recognize terrorist activity. Get the picture? Are you ready? Are you awake? This is happening in America.
Amen.
Federal appeals court has ruled that Christians must be allowed to distribute pamphlets at these festivals. But that didn't seem to matter to the Dearborn, Michigan chief of police because they were arrested anyway, illegally. Do you know that Chicago has a law in place that if I walked on the street with that, I could be arrested? I've never heard of anything like this before. It's called the bubble law. If you approach Chicago, people, if you approach anyone within 8 feet, let me read it word for word. You cannot approach within 8 feet of a person without consent for the purpose of passing a leaflet, handing out tracts, a handbill, or displaying a sign to or engaging in oral protest, education, or counseling. You cannot walk up to someone and hand them a tract without their permission. You get within 8 feet, you get arrested. In America. Look at your neighbor and say, "Are you awake yet?" news, right? What do we do? So what do we do? In another instance, a man was arrested, I think it was in the Capitol, for praying by himself, simply standing there and praying. I don't even know if it was out loud. And the arresting officer said, let him do that at home. So they're going to tolerate Christianity as long as we keep it at home. Are you willing to do that? Because my Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Let's look at the text. We're in a similar situation. Do you get it? As the recipients of this letter, 12a says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. In other words, now is the time. So what do we do? Do you believe what I told you this morning? Do you understand that we're in it? Amen? Are you convinced? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. In other words, time to get busy. It's time to go to work while it's daylight, before Jesus comes. Therefore, 12b, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. You got any works of darkness in you? You got any sin? You got something secret that you're hiding? You got a struggle? Or a weakness? No, it's sin. Cast off the works of darkness. Cast that stuff out of your life. Live pure before Jesus because you're going to need His strength. Amen? Cast off the works of darkness. In other places, the New Testament says the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, are you doing things that are unfruitful? Are we watching TV when we could be witnessing or reading our Bible? Get it? Unfruitful works of darkness. I'm not telling you can't have any fun. But most of us, if we looked at our lives and say, yeah, I waste a lot of time that I could be on the street telling someone about Jesus, telling someone who's in the grips of hell, and to put on the full armor of light. Too many are not paying attention. Too many are slumbering, not watching, not observing, not seeing the signs of the times. Too many of us are too complacent, too slothful, passing through life with very little commitment. Time to wake up. It's time to be stirred. Amen?
Yes.
Time to move. I said time to move.
Yes.
Elbow your neighbor and tell him get moving. Deeds of darkness. How worldly are you? If I could hold up a spiritual mirror this morning, what would you see? How worldly are you? Cast off means to fling away. Get that sin away from me. I don't need it. Do whatever it takes. You got a struggle? Get out of the way. Get that stuff out of your house. Get it out of your life. You hang around people that are drawing you down? Don't hang around them anymore. Come on, somebody.
All
right. Verse 13 says, let us walk honestly or properly as in the day. You ever notice when the sin happens? You ever notice that bars don't have windows? Why? Because we like to do things in secret. We like to do things in secret when nobody can see. Doug was talking about integrity this morning in Sunday school. And I heard someone say, integrity, you maintain your integrity depending on what you do when nobody's around. Come on. What you do at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning with the TV or the computer. Come on. We need to maintain. It says we need to walk honestly and properly as in a day. Not in revelry. Woo! Right? Party! Not in drunkenness. Not in lewdness. In lust. Okay? That's pornography. That's fornication, which is sexual activity before you're married. Okay? Adultery. Guess what, man? You don't have to touch another woman to commit adultery. Jesus said, if you look, you've already done it. If you look with lust, better put a filter on that computer. Oh, it got quiet. Not in strife. Oh, this traffic. Oh, my boss. Oh, I hate that guy. Right? Not in envy. I don't understand why we don't have a swimming pool like the neighbor has. Guess I better send that TV preacher some more money. Because it ain't working. Where's my hundredfold blessing? Let us walk honestly and properly before God. As in the day. How you walking, saints? How you walking? Live right. Be different from the world. Be different. Many of us try to be so, you know, just like the world and try to see how close we can get to the world. Forget that. Be different from the world. Go against the flow. Live for Jesus. You'll be different. Come on. And teach your children. It's your responsibility to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It doesn't just mean you drop them off on Wednesday night. It doesn't just mean you drag them to church on Sunday. It means teach them. Teach them what to put in their heads with music and movies. Come on, somebody. And the internet. Teach them how they ought to have relationships with the opposite sex when they're young. Teach them about courtship. Teach them about purity. Teach them how to dress themselves. There's too many that look. I'm not saying you got to dress like, you know, the Amish. But we ought to be different, saints of God. Young ladies, I see what's on the racks at the store. Layer it. Parents, teach them. Layer it. You're to keep yourself covered. It's your responsibility. Do you hear me this morning? Teach your children the ways of God. Verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Wow. Plain enough, amen? Put on means to be clothed with. So it's saying, be clothed with the Lord Jesus. You're wearing Him and His ways. Where are you going to go dressed like that? Right? Probably not to some of the movies you might have been watching. Probably not to some of the internet sites you might have been visiting. Clothe yourself. Listen to this. Put on in Greek. It's a phrase signifying to take on the interests of another. So it means to put on Christ means I have His interests at heart. I want to do... What are His interests? What did He come for? Come on, somebody. What did He come for? To seek and to save that which is lost. Is that your interest? Is that what you're all about? Every day? Lost loved ones. We got people in our own families and we don't open our mouths. To seek and to save that which is lost. It says to take on the interests of another. To enter His views. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? How does Jesus look at that person that I despise? Come on. Pastor said, if you got something against somebody, go, yeah, you better. That's what Jesus would do. Amen? To be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, to be holy on His side. Get this, you ready? Buckle your seatbelt. Everybody got them? To imitate Him in all things. How you living? We are to put on or imitate Christ. That means we talk. We don't talk like the world. We don't dress like the world. We don't listen to what the world listens to. Come on. We don't tell jokes like the world tells. We don't behave like the world behaves. This is basic discipleship, friends. It doesn't, you know... I was just talking with Liz this week, you know, and when I got saved, I knew no more drinking. I knew no more dope. I knew lots of stuff. But not everybody gets it. And it kind of astounds me. Whoa, wait a minute. Thought you were a Christian. What are you doing? We need to teach them. That's why the Bible says to teach our kids and people in our congregation, the older, more mature, doesn't mean by age, more mature Christians are to live by an example to the youngers.
Amen.
Is that happening? We are to be not of this world. In it, but not of it. Come on. And it says to make no provision for the flesh. Do not put yourself in a situation. Doug handed out candy bars this morning. That was excellent illustration, Doug. And boy, nobody had to tell me to take one. And he related that to Eve and the forbidden fruit. And sin looks good to all of us. It looks so good. Oh, maybe just a little. Maybe that's what Eve said. Maybe just a little bite. I just wonder what it tastes like. I wonder what it's like. It'll bring you down. Amen? We need to know the times. We need to wake from our sleep. We need to be ready for the rapture and to live as in the day, clean and pure before the Lord. Are you getting the message this morning? Don't get mad at me because it's late. I didn't start till quarter of. Are you getting the message this morning? Are you getting the word? Live as in the day, clean and pure before the Lord. Being an example to new believers. Cast off darkness, it says. Sins. Put on the armor of light. Walk in obedience to the Lord. Do you hear me this morning? Imitate and follow Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. Do you know the times? You need to know the times.
Amen.
Do you believe Jesus is coming soon?
Amen.
Could be today.
Amen.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Tell me you're awake.
Yes.
Now come on, tell me you're awake.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are you ready for the rapture?
Yes.
Are you living as in the day? Pure and clean before Jesus. Have you cast off darkness? That means all sin. All sin. Put on the armor of light. In other words, the full armor of God. The helmet of salvation. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness and so on. Are you walking in obedience to Jesus? Are you imitating and following Him? And living in such a way that you do not make any provision for the flesh. You don't put yourself in a bad situation where you're going to sin. Amen? Everybody stand.